పర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరా శ్రుతిస్మృతిపురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తివేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
This doesn't have Dhyana Shloka. Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam Taduditam
Vedo Nityam Adhiyatam Taduditam
Karmasvanushtiyatam
Karmasvanushtiyatam
Dene Shatya Vidhiyatam Apachiti
Dene Shatya Vidhiyatam Apachiti
కామ్యే మతిస్త్యజ్యతాం పాపౌగః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే
పాపౌగః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే
దోషోనుసంధీయతాం
దోషానుసంధీయతాం
ఆత్మేచ్ఛా వ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్ పూర్ణం
విర్గమ్యతర్గమ్యతస్టర్డే
వి సా ది ఇంట్రొడక్షన్ టు దిస్ టెక్స్ట్. దిస్ టెక్స్ట్ ఈస్ టైటిల్డ్ యాజ్ సాధన పంచకం. వి సా ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వర్డ్. Panchakam means a collection of five. A collection of five verses is called Panchakam. And this Panchakam, a collection of five verses, is dealing with sadhanam, the means. Therefore it is called, this text is called Sadhana Panchakam. A collection of five verses dealing with the sadhanam, the means, is called Sadhana Panchaka. This text has got another name also, Upadesha Pancharatnam. This is the second name of the same text, Upadesha Pancharatnam. Three parts are there. But it's a one word, one compound. Upadesha Pancha Ratnam. Upadesha Pancha Ratnam. Ratnam means jewel, gem, a precious stone is called Ratnam. Pancha Ratnam means five gems, five precious stones, five jewels. Pancharatnam. So five verses of this text are compared to five jewels or five gems, precious stones. Therefore Pancharatnam. And these five gems are in the form of Upadesha, the teaching. So five gems in the form of the teaching of Vedanta is called Upadesha Pancha Ratna. So a collection of five verses which are comparable to five gems, and they are dealing with Upadesha, the teaching of Vedanta. So five gems in the form of the teaching of Vedanta is called Upadesha Pancha Ratnam. Upadesha means teaching, Pancha, five, Ratnam, gems. third meaning or a third title, another word is there for this text. This is called Sopana Panchakam. Another name. Some people have got three, four names, you know. So the text also has got, our Tattva Bodha had only one name. But this text has got three names. Only three, so they don't wait for the fourth one now. Three. So, third one is Sopana Panchakam. Panchakam you have already seen, a collection of five verses dealing with Sopana. Sopana means steps. The steps to moksha. The path to moksha. The journey to moksha. Sopana literally means step. So Sopana Panchakam means a collection of five verses dealing with the steps to moksha. That is Sopana Panchakam. So three names are there. Sadhana Panchakam, Upadesha Pancharatnam and Sopana Panchakam. Namakaran ho gaya. Namakaran is done. Now, three names we have given. Like, you know, in some family, they give two names to the child. One is for, you know, Abhivadana Nama, and other is for regular usage outside. So, two names will be there. So, here, three names are there. Alright. But here, main name, or the popular name of this text is Sadhana. Even though the other two names are there, but the most popular name of this text is Sadhana Panchakam. It is dealing with sadhanam, the means. Let us analyze this word sadhanam and some other words related to sadhanam. Now all of you are familiar with Sanskrit, so I can little bit use Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, you know, I think you must have been told in your Sanskrit class that all words are derived from the root, dhatu. Now I think you know all of you this word, dhatu.
Yes.
All words are derived from dhatu, root. Like the word Rama, if you remember we had seen, Rama is derived from Ram dhatu. Ramate. Atmani or Sarvesh Bhuti, who is reveling in all the beings, Ramaha. Karshati Akarshati iti Krishna, one who is attracting everybody is Krishna. So words are derived from the roots, different roots. The word sadhanam also is derived from Sad dhatu, sad. There is a word, dhatu, sad. S-A-A-D-H. Sa-dha. Sad. Not sad, okay? Sad. Upadhi, upadhi, still continues. Upadhi. Still I read in the notes. Upadhi, upadhi. It is upadhi. Ta-tha-da-dha. Mahaprana. Alpa prana, maha prana, have you been introduced to that? It is a maha prana, upadhi. But in English word, upon that, the and the, almost same. The Hindu, the Hindu, the Hindu. But that types of India. So the and the almost sound similar, but in Sanskrit, it makes difference. Okay? Sadhu, not sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhyate anena iti sadhanam. You don't have to bother about this sadhyate anena part. I just want to tell you that this word sadhanam is from sadhat. And the derivative meaning of the word sadhanam is that by which something is accomplished. That by which something is accomplished is called sadhanam. In English we have got a word, the means, that by which something is accomplished. It's called sadharam. Like if you want to go to Coimbatore city, then a bus can be sadhanam. Train I will not say because train doesn't go. A bus can be a sadhanam, or a car can be a sadhanam, or a motorbike can be a sadhanam, or Natraja service. Natraja service means your legs are for Natraja service. You know that, no? Natraja service. Your legs, in Indian tradition, they call it Natraja service. So, you can walk also, if you decide. Morning you start, evening you will reach. Yeah, it's not that difficult. Particularly, it's not a big thing. You can walk. See, some of you must have walked. Anyway, so a bus or a car can be called sadhanam. Another word connected to this word sadhanam is sadhyam. Sadhyam means the end, the goal, the destination to be achieved through sadhanam is called sadhyam. Sadhyam. Suppose by bus I am going to Coimbatore city, so Coimbatore city can be called what? Sadhyam. That which is to be achieved, that which I wish to achieve by some means, that is called sadhyam. And the person who is trying to achieve sadhyam with the help of sadhanam is called sadhaka. Sadhaka means the pursuer. The person who is pursuing to achieve the end with the help of the means, that person is called sadhaka. So now we have learned three words. Sadhanam, the means, sadhyam, the end, and sadhaka, the pursuer, one who is pursuing. I am using the general word. We have got another word, seeker also. But every time it may not be in the form of seeking. If you are going to Coimbatore, do you say that I am seeking Coimbatore? You don't say. I am going to Coimbatore. So pursuing, making effort. So three words we have learned. Sadhana, sadhya, sadhaka. One more word. Siddhaha. Siddhaha means the one, the person, one who has achieved the sadhyam. A person who has achieved sadhyam is called siddhaha. Accomplished person. When you reach Coimbatore city, you are what? Siddhaha. Generally, siddha word has got very big connotation. But literally speaking, siddha means one who has achieved sadhyam. Accomplished person. You are an accomplished person. When you reach Coimbatore city, you are an accomplished person. You will be called what? Siddhaha. So in Sponsor area, all of us are Siddhaha. You start from your room, your destination is dining hall. Or class, okay. Class may be there or may not be there, but dining hall is a sadhyam for everybody. Therefore, it's more common. So dining hall is your sadhyam. Start from your room. You are a sadhaka. The means is what? Your legs. Natraja service. And then, so this is the sadhana. And your sadhyam is dining hall, you are a sadhaka, using the means, your legs. And when you reach dining hall, you are siddhaha. Siddhaha means the one who has accomplished sadhyam. These four words are clear? So I can use it without translating? With your permission? These four words clear? Sadhaka, one who is pursuing, pursuer. Sadhyam, the end to be achieved. Sadhanam, the means. And Siddha, one who has already achieved the sadhya. Here, one more word I would like to introduce, which is very similar to the sadhana. And that is sadhana. You might have heard this word, sadhana. Sadhanam and sadhana almost have the similar meaning. Almost similar meaning is there. But generally, conventionally, the word sadhana is used when the means is in the form of some activity. When the means is in the form of some activity, then we use the word sadhana. Like I am doing the sadhana of shravanam. I am doing the sadhana of dhyanam. So generally, when the sadhana is referred to as the pursuit, then it is presented in the form of sadhana. When the means is in the form of some instrument like bus, car, etc., then we don't use the word sadhana. You cannot say, I am going by the sadhana of the bus. You don't say. The bus, we don't call it sadhana. Kannadigas will say sadhana also. This in Karnataka, in state of India, everything they say, desha. Desha they will not say, desha. So sadhana is a feminine gender. Sadhanam is a neutral gender. Genders have been taught in the class, three genders. Three genders, masculine, feminine, neutral gender. Just told there are three genders. Ramaha is masculine gender. Vanam is a neutral gender. And Bala is a feminine gender. Like this, three genders are. So sadhana is a word in feminine gender. Sadhanam is a neutral gender. The word sadhanam is little wider than sadhana. Where you can use the word sadhana, you can use the word sadhanam also. You can say, I am doing the sadhanam in the form of dhyana. You can say that. Or you can say, I am doing sadhana of dhyana. Sadhanam in the form of dhyanam, sadhana in the form of dhyanam. Both you can say. So sadhanam can be used wherever sadhana can be used. But every time wherever sadhanam can be used, sadhana cannot be used. Like the bus. The bus, you are going by bus, then bus can be called sadhanam, but not sadhana. I hope it is clear. Just, I mean, because sometimes we get confused that I am doing sadhana I should say, or I am doing sadhanam I should say. Sometimes small small confusion also takes our mind, occupy our mind. So just to have clarity, we love clarity, and therefore we are every step, you know, anything which can be confusing, we will try to be clear about. So I hope it is clear. Sadhanam or sadhana. Sadhaka, sadhya, siddha. Now these four words we are clear. Now using these four words, let us understand little more about this sadhanam. What does sadhanam do? Sadhanam is helping the sadhaka to achieve sadhya. It means, right now I sadhaka and Sadhyam have some gap in between. Between me, the Sadhaka, and Sadhyam, there is some distance. Between me, the person in this ashram, and Coimbatore city, there is some distance. Between Sadhaka and Sadhya, there is some distance. And that distance is covered by Sadhana. So Sadhanam can be defined as something which helps the Sadhaka to cover the distance between the Sadhyam and himself. So Sadhanam is that which covers the distance between the Sadhaka and Sadhya. That which bridges the gap between the Sadhaka and Sadhyam is called Sadhanam. I hope it is clear. So what does Sadhanam do? The bus, what is it doing? It is covering or removing the distance between the Sadhaka I and Sadhyam Coimbatore city. So the distance between me, Sadhaka, and Sadhyam is removed by this Sadhanam. So Sadhanam can be understood as something which removes the gap, which removes the distance between Sadhaka and Sadhyam. Now little more you will see. This distance can be in terms of space. Like the example we are seeing, the distance between me, Sadhaka, and Sadhya, Coimbatore city, the distance is spatial in terms of space, space-wise distance. And that is why we remove that distance or we fill the distance, we cover that distance by some means, sadhana. But every time it is not so. Sometimes, suppose my sadhyam, I am a 5-year-old child and I want to become an adult of 25-year-old young man I want to become. Now, here the gap between me, the sadhaka, and Sadhyam is what? 25-year-old person. This is my Sadhyam. Here the gap is not in the form of space. It is not that somebody else is going to come. Time-wise gap is there. So sometimes the gap between Sadhaka, the distance between Sadhaka and Sadhya can be in the form of time. Time-wise gap. Time-wise distance. Distance in terms of time. Somebody wants to celebrate his what is called Shatabhishekam or Shakti of the Purti. But he is only 51. When will it happen? When will it happen? So here the gap is in the form of time. And that time-wise gap, what is to be done? You have to just wait it out. Nothing more can be done. Just waiting, survive. Till 60 you have to survive. That much you have to do. That is the sadhana. Surviving till 60. Waiting out. Waiting it out. So sometimes the gap can be in the form of space. Space-wise gap, distance. Or the distance can be in terms of time. Sometimes it can be in terms of quality. Like somebody has become very dark because he went to some place where with this very hot sun, so very dark. And now he wants to become fair. So whatever requires to be done for that. So here, the gap between Sadhaka and Sadhyam is in the form of quality. I give very simple example, but I can give you more specific example. Suppose I am a poor man. I am not a poor man, okay? Suppose I am a poor man. And I want to become a rich man. Here the gap is not in the form of time, space, it is in the form of quality. The gap is in the form of absence, to be precise, absence of quality. And that can be covered by some means. I work very hard, I invest, you know. What they call buy, what is called buy, borrow or steal. So something I do. So I become a rich man. Or I want to become an expert in Sanskrit grammar. Suppose. So then what? Gap is in the form of quality. Can be covered by what? Studying Sanskrit for 6-7 hours. Expert you want to become. Not only Rama, Ramu, Rama person. You want to become expert. So gap can be in the form of quality, in terms of quality. And generally, we are familiar with these three types of distance. We are doing it. We might not have analyzed like this, but this is what we are doing. Space-wise distance, we take some vehicle. Time-wise distance, we wait it out. Quality-wise distance, we work for it. But there is another type of distance, the fourth type of distance. If you remember the story of tenth man, I hope you remember all of it. Is there anybody who doesn't remember tenth man's story? I hope everybody remembers. The tenth boy was searching for the tenth boy, not knowing that he himself is the tenth boy. So searching tenth boy is sadhaka, isn't it? The boy who is searching for the tenth man or tenth boy is sadhaka. The seeker, here in fact we can use the word seeker also. What is sadhyam? Tenth boy. What he was searching for? Tenth boy. So tenth boy is sadhyam, an end to be accomplished. Desired end was tenth boy. Sadhaka, the boy who was searching boy, is the tenth, is the sadhaka. The boy, the tenth boy is sadhyam. Here, the distance between the sadhaka and sadhyam is not in terms of space. Is there any spatial distance between the searching tenth boy and the sought, to be sought tenth boy? No. There is no space-wise distance. There is no time-wise distance. It is not that a searching tenth boy after some time will become the tenth boy. No. Not time-wise. Not even quality-wise. Not quality.
Ignorance.
It is not that tenth boy has to do some makeup and then he will become. The searching tenth boy has to do some makeup, then he will become the tenth boy. No.
He is not aware of
it. Amma, I am coming. Let me do my job. Not your job. Huh? Yeah. When you come here, you can do this. Okay. Here, the distance between the searching boy, the boy who was searching, sadhaka, and the tenth boy who was sought by him, the gap is in the form of ignorance. Ignorance is the gap between the sadhaka tenth boy and sadhya tenth boy. Ignorance is the gap between searching boy Sadhaka and the sought tenth boy. So what I want to say, sometimes the distance between Sadhaka and Sadhya can be in the form of ignorance also. And here we have to know one particular rule. Sadhaka can achieve the sadhyam only if sadhaka chooses appropriate means. Sadhaka can achieve sadhyam, the desired end, only if he or she chooses appropriate means, not any means. Suppose the distance is in the form of space and he tries to wait it out, it will not work. If distance is in the form of time and he starts his journey, he said, I will walk 10 kilometers, it will not work. If distance is in the form of qualities, covering some physical distance, spatial distance will not work. So the means to be selected should be in keeping with the type of distance between sadhaka and sadhya. Is it clear? The means to be selected should be in keeping with the type of distance to be covered, the distance between sadhaka and sadhya. So then only it will be an appropriate means. Sadhaka can attain sadhyam with the help of appropriate means. And appropriate means is that means which is in keeping with the type of distance is there between sadhaka and sadhya. That is why you cannot say that I do some sadhana. Some sadhana will not work. Sadhana, sadhanam or sadhana should be in keeping with the distance which is to be covered. And if we see in our life, what is our sadhyam? What we want to achieve in our life. To begin with, we say we have four purusharthas: artha, kama, dharma, moksha. We have seen this in Tattva Bodha. Security, sense pleasure or any form of pleasure, dharma, punyam. All these three ends, goals, can give some temporary satisfaction. But we have seen that these three human goals, we have got one common name for them. What is the name? Prayas. Prayas. In fact, somebody in the form they have written, instead of prayer, they have written prayers. So they like the name prayers so much, they change the name of the building itself. Name of the building is prayer. P-R-A-Y-A-G. G. I saw different names for that building. But then I wanted to tell you this, just by the way. So all three of them, dharma, artha, kama, together they are called prayas. And prayas has got some inherent defects. If you remember, we have seen. The first one is what? All of them are anityam, temporary. all of them have a dukkha mishri tattvam. Either in attaining them, protecting them, there is dukkha. Sometimes both type of dukkha. And when they go away, there is dukkha. So dukkha mishri tattvam, fraught with pain, that is the defect. And it is atruptikara. It doesn't give satisfaction. When something comes newly to our house, you know, oh wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Then by the law of diminishing gratification, slowly. And afterwards we look for something else. And therefore these prayers, dharma, artha, kama, cannot be our real sadhya. To begin with, it is okay. What we are really seeking in our life is not dharma, artha, kama. What we are seeking in our life is freedom from this sense of inadequacy, the sense of incompleteness. That is what we are seeking. And freedom from the sense of inadequacy is called moksha. Freedom from the sense of incompleteness is called moksha. So moksha is the real sadhyam. Everybody, knowingly or unknowingly, seeking this moksha. Not knowing that moksha is the real goal, they may be trying dharma artha kama. Through dharma artha kama, they are seeking moksha. So the real goal is moksha. One who has understood this, that my real goal is moksha, I want moksha, that person is mumukshu. So here sadhata will be mumukshu. Mumukshu wants moksha. Moksha means freedom from incompleteness. And freedom from incompleteness is possible only when I attain something which is complete, which is limitless. Purnam. In Sanskrit we call it Purnam. My problem is what? Apurnatvam. Incompleteness. In Sanskrit is called Apurnatvam. Apurnatvam. Incompleteness. What can remove my incompleteness? Apurnatvam is completeness. Completeness means what? That which is free from limitation of time, space and quality. That is called Purnam. Complete. In other words, I can be free from incompleteness only when I get completeness, that is limitlessness. Completeness means limitlessness. And we have seen in Tattva Bodha, if you remember, that completeness cannot be really achieved. If I am incomplete, then I cannot become complete. Completeness cannot be achieved in any place or any time. Why? Because if completeness is situated in a place, then it is limited by space. If completeness is to be achieved in some time, then it is limited by time. If completeness is an object, particular object, which you go and pick it up, then completeness is limited in terms of quality. Therefore, this completeness, limitlessness, cannot be an object in space and time. This has to be very clear. Otherwise we will be looking for something somewhere. कहीं ना कहीं मिल जाएगा, समवेयर विल गेट इट समवेयर सम टाइम. एंड देयरफॉर दिस कंप्लीटनेस इज नॉट समथिंग टू बी अचीव्ड इन टाइम इन स्पेस. कंप्लीटनेस इज नॉट एन ऑब्जेक्ट टू बी अचीव्ड इन टाइम इन स्पेस. Does it mean that we cannot achieve completeness? No. Even though logically it looks like that we cannot achieve. Because any achievement implies time and space. You go somewhere and attain it sometime. So logically it looks impossible. But we have some hope. One great hope is Shastra. Shastra says you can attain moksha. You can attain freedom from incompleteness. And we do have, as you have seen in Tattva Bodha, I hope you remember Tattva Bodha. Tattva Bodha was taught elaborately for this purpose only. That we have some glimpse where we find ourselves to be a non-demanding person, non-wanting person. So some glimpse of being a complete person and Shastram will give us hope that yes, moksha, completeness is possible. But this completeness cannot be an object in time and space. Therefore, what it can be? Completeness has to be non-separate from me. I have to be non-separate from completeness. Then only completeness is possible. Because any amount of effort cannot produce completeness. We have seen earlier. Therefore, only possibility is that completeness is my nature. But because of ignorance, I have disowned this completeness as well. Completeness is my nature, but I have disowned it as it were. Not really physically, I cannot disown. My nature, how can I disown? But I am not aware of the fact that my nature is completeness. This is called disowning completeness. And that has happened because of ignorance. Disowning completeness is because of ignorance of my true nature. And ignorance can go only by knowledge. And therefore, moksha, completeness, is possible only by removing ignorance, and removing ignorance is only possible by knowledge. And therefore, moksha is possible only by knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of my true nature, which is limitless. So, knowledge of my limitless nature is the means for moksha. So sadhyam is what? Moksha. Sadhanam is what? The knowledge of my limitless nature. Who is sadhaka? I, the mumukshu. I, mumukshu, am sadhaka, the pursuer. And moksha is sadhyam. The means is jnanam, knowledge. This is basic clarity about this sadhanam and sadhyam. So now we have got this clarity. Moksha is my sadhyam. I, mumukshu, am sadhaka. Jnanam is the sadhanam. And the distance between me, the sadhaka, and sadhyam is in the form of ignorance. Because I am not away from my nature. Physically I am not away, time wise I am not away, quality wise I am not away. Only ignorance is depriving me of my own nature, as it were. Ignorance is depriving me of my limitless nature, as it were. Therefore, ignorance is the distance to be covered. And as we have seen, the sadhanam should be appropriate. And appropriate means it should be in keeping with the distance. And therefore, jnanam alone is sadhanam, because the distance is ignorance. Since ignorance is the distance between me, the sadhaka, and sadhyam, the appropriate means for attaining sadhyam moksha is jnanam, knowledge. Now, jnanam is the primary means, the main means for attaining moksha. But this jnanam, knowledge of my limitless nature, will be possible only if my antahkaranam, my mind, is fit, prepared. So for attaining knowledge, I require the fitness of the mind. So primary means for moksha is jnana praptihi, attainment of knowledge. And the preparatory means or secondary means for attaining moksha is antahkarana yogyata, the fitness of the mind. Mano yogyata or antahkarana yogyata. The fitness of the mind itself does not give me moksha. The fitness of the mind is preparing me, making me qualified for attaining knowledge, which will get me moksha. Get me also in inverted commas, not in real sense. You already have got. So, primary means for moksha is jnanam. Preparatory or secondary means for moksha is jnana yogyata, mano yogyata or antahkarana yogyata, the fitness of the mind. And now where should we start from? Should we attain jnanam first and then we make the mind yogyam, or first we have to get mano yogyata and then jnanam? First we have to attain the fitness of the mind. Isn't it? First we have to prepare the vessel and then we use the vessel. It is not that we use it first and then prepare. First we have to prepare. So, mano yogyata, antahkarana yogyata, the fitness of the mind, is the secondary means, but that is to be acquired first. And that will make me fit for attaining jnanam, and whatever needs to be done for attaining jnanam, I do, I pursue, I attain jnanam, and that jnanam gives me moksha. So what is the moksha program? Moksha program is, first I attain the fitness of the mind, mano yogyata, antahkarana yogyata, make myself fit for receiving knowledge, then pursue knowledge, attain knowledge, and by that I get moksha. So antahkarana yogyata, the fitness of the mind, then jnana praptihi, moksha. These are the steps. Antahkarana yogyata, jnana praptihi, and moksha. After moksha, nothing. People tell me, what after moksha? Some people ask this question. After moksha, what will we do? In fact, Moksha is that after which you don't have this question, what will I do? As long as you have this question, no, what I have to do, what I have to do, you are not moksha. Moksha means you don't have this question, what I have to do now? Nothing. Nothing remains to be done. He may do, he or she may do, but nothing remains to be done. Nasti mano yogyata jnana prapti moksha. Now, mano yogyata, I am using the word manaha, mind, yogyata means fitness. So the fitness of the mind has got two aspects. The fitness of the mind has got two aspects. One is called Shuddhihi, other is called Naishchalyam. When we say the mind has fitness, means it has got two aspects. One is Shuddhihi, purity, and the second is Naishchalyam, steadiness. So the fitness of the mind is twofold, purity and steadiness. Purity of the mind means removal of impurity. That impurity is called mala, mala doshaha. So mala dosha nivrutti, removal of the defect called mala, impurity, is called shuddhihi, manashuddhihi or antahkarana shuddhihi. Shuddhihi means purity. So fitness of the mind is in the form of shuddhihi, purity. Purity means removal of impurity. This is a beautiful concept, that purity is not a positive quality. Just removal of impurity is purity. When you purify water, means what? It is not adding something. Adding something is not called purity. Removing the impurity is called purification. So removal of impurity of the mind is Shuddhihi, which is one of the fitness of the mind. And another one is Naishchalyam. This is another type of fitness of the mind, another aspect of the fitness of the mind. Naishchalyam. Naishchalyam means steadiness. And steadiness means removal of restlessness of the mind. In Sanskrit, the restlessness is technically called vikshepaha. Vikshepaha. Vikshepa means restlessness of the mind. So removal of vikshepaha, restlessness, is called Naishchalyam, steadiness. So Shuddhi, purity, and Naishchalyam, steadiness, together are called Yogyata, fitness. So when we say the fitness of the mind, the fitness in terms of getting self-knowledge, okay, no other fitness we are talking about. The fitness of the mind to receive the knowledge is in the form of purity and steadiness, Shuddhi and Naishchalyam. And this purity of the mind, as I said, is removal of impurity called mala. And this impurity is in the form of likes and dislikes. So antakarana shuddhi means removal of impurity, which is in the form of likes and dislikes. Especially binding likes and dislikes. This is one aspect of antakarana yogyata. And this removal of the impurity in the form of likes and dislikes is achieved by the sadhana called karma yoga. So karma yoga helps us to remove the impurity which is in the form of likes and dislikes. So karma yoga helps us to attain shuddhihi purity, and purity means removal of impurity which is in the form of likes and dislikes. Raga dvesha is Sanskrit. Likes and dislikes are called raga dvesha. Raga means likes, like, and dvesha means dislike. So removal of raga dvesha, removal of likes and dislikes, is called shuddhi, and that is achieved by karma yoga. And the second one is naishalyam, removal of vikshepaha, removal of restlessness of the mind, and that is achieved by dhyanam, meditation. In Sanskrit we have got the word upasana, upasanam or upasana. So by upasana or dhyanam, meditation, we remove the vikshepa of the mind, the restlessness of the mind. And removal of vikshepa, the restlessness of the mind, is called naishalyam. So naishalyam of the mind we achieve by upasana, dhyanam. So karma yogena chitta shuddhi, by karma yoga the purity of the mind, by upasana the steadiness of the mind, and purity and steadiness of the mind together are called antakarana yogyata, the fitness of the mind. And once we have attained this fitness of the mind with the help of karma yoga and upasana, we are ready for pursuing knowledge. And the means for attaining knowledge is called Jnana Yoga. The means for attaining Jnanam is called Jnana Yoga. Yoga means the means. Yujyate anena iti yoga. The means. Jnanasya Yoga, Jnana Yoga. The means for Jnanam is called Jnana Yoga. So now the sadhana is what? By karma yoga, purity of the mind, by dhyanam, the steadiness of the mind, by jnana yoga, attainment of knowledge, and by attainment of knowledge, attainment of moksha. This is the moksha program which is given here in this text. More blessed tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.